Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today I have Chris, Lauren, and Steve is back!
Hello. How are you?
That was loud, sorry.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited.
But we don't have Sharpie this week.
Yeah, for Sharpie's out.
Apparently we can only have one guy on here at a time.
I think, yeah. We scare him away.
Okay, that's not really what we're going for. You guys just can't handle us.
It could be. It's all the talk about shoes.
That's only pre-show.
Right. Oh, well, it was probably worse when you were gone. Because without you here to keep us in line, yeah, it was worse.
Mm. Yeah, that's never good.
Yeah, we made him an honorary girl, basically.
Great. So how was Paris?
Paris was pretty good. I went to Disneyland Paris, I think, 3 or 4 times.
Oh, you can't even count. It was so many times.
No,
he's so jaded.
Went.
It's like, yeah. I don't know. I was just walking along with my cigarette and my loaf of bread, riding rides. Because that's what you do in Paris, right? Did you have a striped shirt on?
Yes, a striped shirt.
Red and white.
And a beret.
Yes, and a loaf of French bread.
Did you have a mustache while you were there?
I got one out of a
gumball
machine.
You should have had a mustache. Maybe that's why we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why you didn't post a lot of selfies? Because your mustache was too embarrassing?
No, it was perfect.
I don't think you can grow a perfect mustache.
It was pretty nice.
Let me see.
Yeah.
Come here.
I don't know.
Well, you could do a mustache. You couldn't do a beard, though.
It was fun. Yeah, it was fun. So I only went for a couple hours each time, though. And it's an hour out there on the train and an hour back, so it's kind of not worth it. But I just wanted to see certain things. And when I had a free moment, I would go out.
Do some pics, some videos.
It didn't seem like you had a lot of free moments. Usually I begrudge you all the fun you have over there, but this time I felt a little sorry for you.
Yeah, I did not have a lot of free time.
I think Chris tracked Steve better than I did. He's nodding his head, shameful but true.
It was a lot of work.
I was lonely. It was true because Steve's, my friend.
But the Remy Ratatouille little mini land over at Walt Disney Studios is very close to opening. It opens July 10th, and they have a media event June 27th and 28th. So I went over 3 or 4 times just to peek to see if they had soft openings. And it looked like it was very, very, very close, but I went on my last day before I caught my flight, and it still wasn't open. But it's going to have a dark ride.
Do you know?
Yes.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'll get there in a second.
Okay. Well, it's going to have a dark ride that's going to be trackless. It's their first trackless, and I think it's 3D if I remember correct. So it's their first trackless 3D ride where you're shrunk to the size of Remy. And then they have a Bistro de Remy restaurant that's going to open as well. And then it's odd because you're in Paris and then you go out to Disneyland Paris and they have a land that looks like you're back in Paris again.
I found that disconcerting. When I was stalking your Instagram, I'd be like, yeah, what's going on here? I'm confused because it looked just like Paris, but it was Disney.
Yes.
Well, even Steve, no, Chris would call me up and say, hey, did you see his latest post? Did you see what he's eating? Did you see this? Did you see that? I'm like, no, he doesn't share anything with me. And she's like, well, you kind of have to be a follower.
Yeah, I did. I explained Instagram to her. I'm like, well, get on Instagram, Lisa. Then you can see all his cheese and his big meatballs and whatnot that he's eating.
Yeah, disgusting. The cheese wrapped in beef did look good.
Oh, those are so good.
It looked awful.
No,
every
I think that
time
looked
I would
good.
Look at that.
Oh, those are so good. The bruschettes. They have bruschettes at the Japanese place, and they have ones that are meatballs, and they have ones that are chicken, and then they have cheese wrapped with beef.
Ugh.
Oh, it's so good. Ugh. And it's on a stick.
Terrible. Okay.
Cheese on a stick.
I want to eat that.
Cheese on a stick wrapped with beef.
I'm thinking pass.
It's so good. It's so good.
Is that the Japanese place?
Yeah. Japanese places have bruschettes and they have a bunch of different varieties. And they're very, very good.
Okay.
You get some sushi, some bruschettes, and you're good to go. Mm. But,
Do you know what I thought was interesting from your pictures? I thought it was interesting that you took the construction pictures of Remy and that whole area, and you could actually see the construction because at Disney World and Disneyland and in the U.S., they would have big walls up. But I guess it was just out in the open, right?
No, they have big walls. I'm just tall.
Okay. Oh, did you like reach over the wall or
something?
Yeah.
So it would either reach, you have to reach over the wall or around the wall because you can't see it at all unless you reach over. And then I brought a camera on a stick.
Is that kind of like the meat and the cheese on
yes,
a stick?
Yes, I got the idea from that. And then I put, because everybody was there and they were like jumping up and down. And then I just picked up my camera on a stick, stuck it over the wall. And they were like, oh, American camera on a stick. That's a good idea. And then I had it set up so I could see it on my iPhone. So it was like a little like telescope or periscope or whatever it is. And I could just see over the wall. And then it would record to my iPhone.
You are awesome.
For my video. So it was very good.
Yeah.
And all the construction workers are probably like, what's that little camera doing over the wall? Bouncing around.
Gosh, I just thought they didn't have any walls up.
No, they have walls.
I'm kind of disappointed. I gave the impression
it has the impression of all the video I shot. Yeah. I tried to give the impression of that it was just like right there so you could see it nice and neat, but it's all.
And it does look like that. I'm like, why is it still under construction? These pictures are like awesome.
Yeah.
But
yes.
It's all behind
it. Now I understand.
There's two areas you can see from and they're both with a giant blue wall.
You're funny. Camera on a stick.
Camera on a stick.
That was awesome. Well, I just want to say I enjoyed the picture, Steve. I really did. Instagram is awesome. And
lots of pastry pictures.
I'll put the Remy video up, too, because the Remy video I only gave to our friends over at Mouse Steps, and they have it in Mouse Steps Weekly on YouTube, and it's in one of their recent weekly videos. But I'll re-encode it and put it on the Mouse Chat website. It's got all the Remy... review.
For some reason, I thought I put it up on the Mouse Chat page, but maybe
you probably did. Yeah,
they all ran together.
Yes, but it was a lot of fun.
Well, I'm gonna let everyone know that we don't have a clear cut topic for this week. We have some news and some reviews, and so it's kind of a mishmash, and that's what we'll call it. Mishmash.
Oh, and I have news too.
Okay, you can talk too.
So I have a news story. I'm gonna go.
Well, why don't you go ahead and start?
I'll start.
Tell us all about it, Steve.
I'm excited, and then
I'm on the edge of my seat.
And then I'm going to fall asleep. So,
I know. You're still on. What time is it for you?
I don't know. Don't look. Don't tell me.
It's 3:40 a.m.
Okay, so.
He's fine. He's done nothing but sleep since he's been back, probably.
I've
been working.
Yeah.
So in 2 days, I'm going to go to Disney World. So from Disneyland Paris to Disney World. And we're taking the truckster down, or I'm taking the truckster down.
Yeah.
So I'll be at Downtown Disney at Cars Masters Weekend, which is Disney's car show. And it's on Saturday, June 14th and Sunday, June 15th from 9:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. And they're going to have people from Pixar there talking about the movies. AMC has the Cars movies, I think, for a 24-hour or 48-hour car-a-thon playing at AMC. All the Pixar cars are there. Chip Foose is there. Food trucks.
Who is Foose?
Chip Foose is, and someone else was going to know this because it's been so long since I've had time to watch TV. But he does a car kind of restoration show, and he's a designer. So he's signing autographs, and he's done this year's poster that looks pretty cool. And there's a special dinner on Friday night that you can go to over at Epcot for $100 per person at Test Track, which is in 2 days. I think you have to sign up by tomorrow. So actually that'll probably have happened by the time we get this podcast out.
Chip Foose is an American hot rod shop owner, automotive designer, and fabricator. Oh.
Yeah. So he, you know, there's all the different reality shows and it's one of the shows, or he might even have more now, where he restore somebody's car, you know, and they kind of get surprised at the end type of thing.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe they could do that for your Honda.
That would be nice. Pimp up my Honda. Be.
Yeah. I had a lot of surprises for Steve. A new car was not one of them.
Yes. But so that event goes on. So I will be there all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And our car is right in front of AMC by Splitsville. So that kind of entrance over there by Bongos.
I love that car. I can't ever get enough of hearing about it.
Our car is the only car that's all by itself.
Everyone else is teamed up in threes and fours.
Everybody else is either in a giant lot or whatever. Pretty exciting.
You know, some people would take that as they don't want to associate with you.
I don't know. So I'm just saying. Our car's right in front of AMC. But, yeah, so I'll be there. So if you want to take a picture, come say hi, complain about Chris,
mm-hmm.
all these things you can do.
You know, I think Chris is taking shoe donations. What size shoe?
7.
7. Okay.
Well, that's a big foot.
She's not.
It is not.
Do you know what I wear?
That's huge. Let's move on.
Yeah. I'm not even going to tell you.
I'm a dainty, dainty size.
I'm a 6.5. Mm. Okay. All right, Chris, you did a little Walt Disney World exploring yourself. What'd you do?
Okay, so I went down on Friday, and I actually went to meet some people for Gay Days, and I had a wonderful time. And I know some people don't like to go because of the crowds that weekend. I just have to say the crowds were not bad, and I felt incredibly welcomed by the people, and the cast members were very nice to us. We had a group of 40 people, and I had a wonderful time, and I was shocked at how not busy the Magic Kingdom was on Saturday. So that was a huge bonus for me. And I got to ride Mine Train 3 times. Wow. And it was fantastic.
So jealous.
How long were the waits?
The waits for everything. Okay, so Friday I didn't spend too much time in the park, so I really can't tell you how long the waits were because I went to Victoria and Albert's. But Saturday, the wait times for everything were really low. The only thing that had a wait time of any kind of, you know, hour and a half was, of course, Mine Train. So that was a little bit much. But, you know, it's going to be like that regardless. But all the wait times on Saturday and Sunday were very low. And then on Monday, it just was crazy. It was like everyone got out of school and came into town on Monday. It was packed. So if you are thinking of a trip, that weekend's a good weekend to go if you want to avoid crowds and if you have to go after Labor Day because of school and all that. Mine Train was fantastic. Lisa, I know you went on it and you weren't as impressed. And I totally went on it with you in mind, thinking what you would have liked versus what I like, because you're a coaster person and I'm a wimp. And so for me, there was just enough of a thrill, you know, with some of the drops and everything. And, but the theming was fantastic. And I loved it so much. I loved it. And I would put the thrills a little bit more than Splash Mountain, for example, obviously, but obviously less than Big Thunder. But the theming is just, I think, the best of any ride I've been on.
It does. So. What did I say that was less than Splendor?
You said it was okay.
It was okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't.
You're a coaster person.
That doesn't mean it's bad. I can appreciate a ride for what it is.
Well, and I think for somebody like me who's definitely a wimp when it comes to rides, it was kind of thrilling. You know, it was fun. But I just thought, you know, this is everything you want in a ride. It's got a little bit of a thrill. It's got theming. It's got everything. It's also got an incredibly long wait time. So make sure you get your fast passes.
Yeah. Well, it's a kid's coaster. So it's the next step up
Don't
from Great Goofini.
It is. You know it is.
So
it's
not a
kid's coaster. It's a Chris Wood coaster.
The Great Goofini
it's a
has,
kid's coaster.
You know, very limited
Also
theming.
Known as a Chris coaster.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. Let's put it this way. I was not cussing the entire time.
Now,
did you
feel the little cars swing?
Yes, but not a lot. I do have to say that one of the times I went on it, I had eaten dinner with Mitch and Marla, who we love. And I was like, ooh, I should not have gone on that after eating. Because it was a little, I felt it.
Because it was so, I don't know, exhilarating and fast.
Maybe a little nauseating. A little nauseated. I was like, ooh.
Chris Wood.
Well, because you know what I did? I went to the plaza, and because I never get the ice cream there, I had the banana split. And I thought Mitch and Marla would eat a little bit with me, but they didn't. And so I ate it. Oh, God, that's why my skirt was tight today. Never mind. I was like, wow, why does this feel so tight? Never mind. Anyway, it was delicious. But yeah, so don't eat a banana split all by yourself and then go on that.
Okay. Oh, well, now I feel bad that you think that I'm bashing it.
No, I didn't think you were bashing it at all. I totally felt that, you know, because you will ride anything. You and Amber, you're, you know, for people who don't know, she's 9, will ride anything. But I'm a wimp. So, and I think my kids will like it a lot. I don't know if Sophie will, but the boys will like it.
I think this might be a challenge for Sophie, well, but I think she'll do it.
She went on Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, she'll do it.
Did she? No, that was Thomas who went on Thunder Mountain.
Well, she didn't go on Thunder Mountain. She went on.
She's never been on that. She went on. Yet. You took her on Splash.
She went on Splash. Yeah,
you took her on Splash. You took Thomas on Splash and Thomas on Big Thunder and Haunted Mansion.
It's not scary. We're not in line for the Haunted Mansion. No, no, that's over here.
Oh, I took a video of the Phantom Manor too. I don't know if it came out or not. If it did, I'll post it.
Oh, did you go? Okay, yeah, I want to see that.
Very dark.
So it was awesome. So anyway, I loved it.
Cool. We have a little bit more news. What, you know what? Since we're talking about your tight skirt and food, where did you get the privilege of eating this weekend?
Okay, I went to Victoria and Albert's, and everybody, if you listen to the show, you know that I love to eat, and I love to get dressed up, so it's really the perfect combination for me. And a group of us, there were 10 of us who went to Victoria and Albert's. I had never been there. In fact, I think of our entire group, only one person had been there before. And what surprised me, one thing was that the room itself is actually very small. There are probably only like 6 or 7 tables in that main dining room. And we had 2 tables of 5. They won't sit more than 8 at a table. And it was fantastic. They customized the menu. So Jesse, who is a listener, and we love Jesse as well, he called ahead and he made sure that they knew everyone's dietary restrictions. For example, I think half the people we were with would not eat seafood. Well, seafood's a big part of that menu. And so they had that listed and other things that people won't eat. Like, of course, I don't eat duck, lamb, or veal because they're too cute. And
but you'll punch a panda in the face.
I will. A baby if I get angry panda. If I get angry enough, those pandas, if I ever run into one, it's going to be trouble.
Would you eat pigeon?
I would probably eat pigeon. And pigeon actually, did you have pigeon, didn't you?
I did in Paris. Ugh,
how was it? See, I had it in Prague once, and I couldn't really tell that there was a difference between that and chicken.
Very red. It doesn't look like chicken at all.
That wouldn't work for me.
Yeah. Well, and you also kind of feel like, did they just get this from outside?
I know.
Was your stuffed with something weird, right?
Oh, it was like it was like in a Hot Pocket. It was like a pigeon Hot Pocket.
Ew.
Hot Pocket.
It was.
Those French. You'd breaded. Know this if you were looking at Steve's Instagram.
Yeah,
pictures.
It was on my Instagram feed, yeah.
I didn't realize that pigeon. I was looking at pigeon.
You should put that on the show notes so people can follow you.
Okay. I'll put it up.
Maybe you can get some followers that aren't 14-year-old girls.
There's a lot of 14-year-old girls that like to follow you on Instagram.
I actually have nice followers on Instagram.
Really?
Anyway.
Okay, go on.
Okay.
That's what they want you to think.
I know, right? We had 7 courses. We did the it's $135 for 7 courses. They start you with an amuse-bouche, I don't know. And then they do 2 cold appetizers, I think 2 hot, your main dish, a cheese course, and then dessert. The only thing that I thought was really lacking was dessert. I often find that chocolate desserts in restaurants aren't that good, and it was a souffle, and it was kind of just, it was there. Everything else was fantastic. The cheese was good. I sat next to Mandy, who is also a listener of the show, and she just got off the college program. That was actually pretty fun because Mandy had never eaten that kind of food before, so it was all new to her. So she was extremely excited, and she was kind enough to share her salmon with me, which was very nice of her. Thank you, Mandy.
So this was like a little mini Mouse Chat meetup.
It kind of was because, as it turned out, other than Frank and Robbie, who Frank is a Pixie agent and we love Frank and Robbie is his partner, everybody was a listener that we had met through one way or another. And it was really good company. It was wonderful. I really can't review the food that well. I mean, everything was so good. I don't even know where to start. The service was, of course, really good. And But it was still not stuffy. It wasn't like the kind of restaurant where you felt everything was, you know, you do have to dress up for it, which is, you know, part of the experience. It was
so
good.
What was your bill in the end?
Okay, this was the bad part. So, and you and I already discussed this a tiny bit. And you know that I don't mind paying when I feel there's value. I don't necessarily feel there was value with this upcharge. I do this thing. Whenever I go to a new restaurant, I don't trust the kitchen. I don't care who it is. So I always order the beef because I figure it's hardest to mess up the beef for my main dish, even though I probably would prefer something else. So I went to order the beef tenderloin. It was like Wagyu beef, but it's not really. Or it was Kobe, I think. I don't know. One of those.
I think it was Kobe.
I went to order the tenderloin, and it was there was a $35 upcharge, and I thought, oh, well, that's okay. It was the tiniest piece of meat I have ever seen in my life. But that was fine because at that point, you already had multiple courses, and I was getting full. And it was very good. But for the other beef dish, there was a $115 upcharge. And the lady across from us got that. And it looked like a huge plate of food, but I mean, really, $115.
Upcharge. So, this is on top of the $135 or whatever you said?
The total price. Okay, so it's $135. I had a glass of wine. It was fantastic. I'm not a wine drinker, and it tends to, I think I have like some sort of allergy to with wine because it tends to make me a little tipsy really easily. I only had one glass. It was a very large glass though, and it was good, but it was like $25 for a whole glass.
Wow.
So seriously. The whole price, I think, including the tip, was $250, which is more than I would really prefer to spend. Thank you. So
$35 to upcharge to beef.
An already expensive meal.
But $35 is the price of a very nice beef filet at any restaurant.
Anywhere else. I know.
Well, I don't know if you can get a filet for $35 at a really nice restaurant.
Pretty darn. $40.
$42, yeah. $46.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty close.
It's expensive.
That.
I think that they should have that included in the price. If you know, how do you not have a beef option?
And then to have a $115 upcharge on a meal, upcharge. Yeah.
And the awesome thing about the lady that ordered the $150, because I love people watching. The awesome thing about those people is they didn't talk for like through five courses, and then I guess she had had enough wine, and then they started talking. But we were like, wow, he really did something wrong. Because she ordered the up, she spent an additional $115. Plus, they had the wine flight. So,
well, how much is the wine flight?
I think that's $135 as well.
No, it's $65. I actually priced it.
Oh, is it $65? Okay,
$65.
How is it possible? It's $65.
They have
their website,
two.
$65.
Don't they have two levels of wine?
They must, because I have to tell
it's more money in the at the chef's table one.
Okay. Because I was told that what you could do with the wine flight is you could either split it, so you're not getting, because you get one with each course. I was told you could either split it or you could go ahead and just order a half glass. So I thought about doing that, but then I remembered my problem with wine, and I thought, never mind. That's not
smart.
Well,
that's six half glasses, right?
I know. I'd have been smashed.
That could have been fun.
I know. That was the only thing I had to drink the entire weekend because, of course, everyone around me was throwing them back. So,
you know what, though? $65 for six glasses of wine is not bad.
No, that's why I'm thinking that's got to be old information. I don't know.
No, it was on Disney.
I think Lauren's right.
I believe you.
I was thinking 69, but I'll take it at 65.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Well, cool. Overall, well, obviously you want to go back.
I do want to go back.
Because we're planning on going in August.
That would be amazing because I missed y'all there. So.
Aww.
Yes. Well, because I like to steal your food, right?
Yeah, that's true.
There is that, yeah.
Now, what would you get next time?
Oh, God. Okay, so for one of my hot appetizers, they had this pork tenderloin with Spätzle. And it was the best thing ever. They also had a scallop there that was fantastic. Oh, and it was on like this Thai curry sauce. That was amazing.
Lisa, I wonder if you and I can split a steak.
You know what? Enjoy your two bites each.
You know, so, it's hard because like you can go on a Disney cruise to Palo for $25.
$25. And have an amazing meal.
But you know what? The food was 10 times better and 10 times fancier than Palo.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to get Chris over to Remy.
Should go to Remy because you could do Remy, except you're not going to be on one of those ships for a long time. Whenever you get on the Fantasy or the Dream for $75.
How do you know I don't have one booked for like next month,
Maybe
Steve?
You do.
Because you couldn't hold it in. You'd tell us.
No, I'd be like, oh my God, guess what? Anyway, okay, yes, that is true. I have no plans because my husband has put the kibosh to any kind of travel because of Norway. So, yes. Anyway, yes, I would love to go on Remy.
I would love to hear your comparison of Victoria and Albert's versus Remy.
I need to do it. I think that sounds like a great field trip.
I'm not offering in any way, shape, or form, but I'd love to hear the comparison.
Okay. You'll have to go too, because you know I can't cruise without, you know, my cruise director.
Just call me Julie.
That's right. Yeah, it was good. It was so amazing. I mean, when we were there, a couple got engaged. Mm-hmm. Yes, and we were trying to figure out what course they got engaged during because, you know, I think there's a lot in, you know, like, do you get engaged before dessert? I don't know. They seemed happy.
Yeah, do you want to do it at dessert time after the meal? And
what if she says no? She's like, no,
then it's an awkward, like, 2 hours.
I guess that's why you do it at dessert.
Yes.
Although if you do it at the beginning, then she walks out and you don't have to pay for her.
Well, and they also had the wine flight. So maybe he was getting her just tipsy enough so that she'd have her defenses down and say yes. So it was cute.
That's a good place to do it.
Yeah. Just go. Go if you can swing it. Hire a babysitter. Put on your party dress and go.
All right, so there were some changes with policy over at Victoria and Albert's involving the Tables in Wonderland card. What are the changes with that?
I'm not happy about that. Right when we're getting ready to go?
Mm-hmm. I know.
Really?
You can't use Tables in Wonderland as of August 1st at Victoria and Albert's. There's a bunch of changes with Tables in Wonderland, which I think Lauren was going to cover because I've talked way too much. And since I met a Mouse Chat listener who said that I have a whiny monotone voice.
Who said that?
My friend Art. He's awesome. Yeah. No, I love
Art.
Him. Yeah, Art. What's your problem?
Seriously. This
Art's
is Chris
cringing
Wood.
Right now.
What's that?
I said Art's cringing right now.
No, he did. He said it like three times.
I don't think you're monotone.
I don't think you are either. I actually think you're pretty animated. I disagree, Art.
Yeah.
I do too. But
I'd like to hear Art talk for 30 minutes straight.
I know. Mm-hmm.
Well, Steve started with his first finger roll.
Okay, did he really?
Yep.
Oh, Steve. We've missed that.
So what's up with Tables in Wonderland?
It's so good to have you back, Steve.
I think, hey, Lauren, go ahead and go to tablesinwonderland.com.
Oh. No, I'm on it. I'm good.
Okay, good. You can talk about it because I really don't want to bore people with my charm for that long. So,
okay.
So there are some changes coming to the Tables in Wonderland. The biggest thing for me, I'm a little upset about, is the Victoria and Albert's will no longer participate in the Tables in Wonderland as of August 1st. And when are we scheduled to go, Chris? The 9th?
Yes, something like that.
Wow.
Murphy's Law. And they're also going to, beginning August 1st, 1900 Park Fair, Chef Mickey, Ohana for Dinner, Royal Table, Akershus, and Le Cellier are going to be subject to blockout weeks. So there's certain weeks of the year that you're not going to be able to utilize the Tables in Wonderland for those specific restaurants, which I think is kind of cheesy personally.
Yes.
Because yeah, you're paying, what, is it $100 for the card already?
Yeah, you're paying $100 for the card unless you're a Florida resident, I think. Is it more or cheaper?
It's $100 if you have an annual pass or DVC. It's $125 if you're a Florida resident, but you don't have either of those.
Right. So if you're an AP holder, you can get the Tables of Wonderland. The other thing that's changing is for credit card payment, the credit card must match the name on the Tables of Wonderland card, which they were always supposed to do anyway.
No way, yeah. Really? That's bad. Because quite frankly, we always abuse
that. We hand
them
out. Yeah, always. Well, I guess they're... But technically, they're supposed to check that anyway, so...
That's just enforcing a policy that's been in place.
Enforce it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are the big changes coming. You know, I normally wouldn't care about the Victoria and Albert's one, except for the fact that it's... Maybe we should go in July, Chris.
It's in our plans.
Let's get down there. Sorry, we got to change everything.
Yeah, we need to move everything to July so we can get that Tables of Wonderland 20% off.
Well, you know what? 20% on a $200 bill is pretty
huge. Absolutely.
Yeah. I have to say, I mean, when I got the bill, I was like, oh, really? My husband's going to kill me.
See, and if I got the bill, I would have handed it to you and said, here you go, dear.
Wow. I don't know.
That's a ton of money.
It's a ton of money.
I take offense to the whole thing. The upcharge.
Yeah.
Why on earth would you need to upcharge anything $115?
Well, and I don't, and somebody at the table said that, so it's supposed to be the fancy kind of beef, but it's really not. It's just from here and they're calling. I don't understand that.
I can't imagine what they could possibly serve.
But I want to know what they're feeding that beef to have that amount of money.
I know. Well,
like, is it gold? What are they feeding?
It is. The cows are very, I don't know, they probably massage them and talk to them about
their
feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they have that at Charlie's and all these other steakhouses that they went to. They have the Kobe beef where they massage them and
they really massage them.
Yes, and they drink beer. No, they do. They massage them and they feed them like grain and beer and.
Do you think the cows enjoy the massage, or are they kind of like, get off me?
I don't know.
Huh?
But
I don't think I would enjoy it if I were a cow.
No, me neither.
Oh.
Wait, that's funny for a whole different reason.
Well, you're right. It is.
I caught it. All right.
Yes.
I'm gonna steal your thunder for a minute, and I'm gonna change the topic, and we're gonna go to some new FastPass changes.
Oh.
Yet again, just to make life a little more confusing, we've got new changes to the FastPass Plus selections. This is gonna start pretty darn soon, in about a week, June 16th, and we've got, you know how over at Epcot and Hollywood Studios, we've got tiered systems. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You. A little participation would be nice.
Sorry, I thought you were talking to the audience.
I was looking at shoes. I'm kidding.
Okay. Not really. All right. So over at Epcot, they're kind of switching some of the stuff around just a little bit, not too much, but they're adding to tier one, which is like the top group. Normally previously it was Illumination, Soarin', and Test Track. They've added Living with the Land as a tier one, a group one.
That's a hot commodity. You can never get on that thing.
Ridiculous.
No, it's really difficult.
I've had
such trouble to get on that one. It's just, mm-hmm. It's crazy. I do think it's good that they move Maelstrom to tier two.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That makes more sense. They need to put Living with the Land back down there and leave it alone.
Yeah.
Living with the Land is like, I love it, but I know no one else who likes it.
There's never anybody there.
No.
I like it.
I like it too, but there's never anybody.
But I like the fact that there's never a line and no one really knows what it is or appreciates it, because then I don't have to wait and I do enjoy it. I could go on that, you know, a couple times in a row because I just enjoy it. Also is Character Spot. Character Spot is group two.
Yeah, which, again, it should
That's
be.
A good change.
It's a
yeah,
good change.
Definitely.
So we've got that. And then another one that got boosted up the line to group one is over at Studios, the Great Movie Ride.
That was stupid. They need to put Beauty and the Beast and Great Movie Ride in tier two.
So wait a minute. Great Movie Ride is now tier one?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow, that was an act
you know
of
why?
Weirdness.
because there's so many people that when they do Toy Story, if they have kids that can't do anything else, they pick the Great Movie Ride. So now they're making it harder to get Great Movie Ride.
Well, it's so you have to choose one. You have to choose one or the other. That's bad. Yeah.
So now my recommendations for little ones is going to be Disney Junior and Muppet Vision, even though you don't really need them.
I think it's ridiculous. I think
to get rid of the tiers.
Disney Junior actually works really well with a fast pass because that wait can be very long.
Tedious.
Very long with a toddler.
But you're still going to wait for it.
I know, but
you're going to go in first.
Yeah.
Well, and you can show up later.
Yeah. Exactly. And Muppet doesn't have a wait normally. That's usually
no. Well, yeah, you're going to wait just for your movie time. You don't need to fast pass that because they have such a huge theater.
But when you need to pick a fast pass and you have little kids, sometimes it's the only option.
Yeah, I guess. You know, I almost feel like if people are smart and they do the research and they know what they're doing, you know, if we got rid of the tier system, if someone ends up with Toy Story, Rock and Roller Coaster, and Fantasmic, more power to them.
Yep. Well, all that would do is draw people to actually get on early to book.
Right, and use the system the way Disney intended it to be used.
And then give on-site guests the real advantage because they can do it at 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Of course, that could get messy too.
Yeah, but...
The tiers don't work.
No.
I don't think it works because you're limited to one of those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to do
and no
rock
matter
and
what you pick, the other one is going to run out of fast passes before you can get another fast pass. So the fact that they opened it up and once you use your three, you can book another one now, it's not going to help that situation.
Mm-mm.
No. So yeah, when you go to get more fast passes, it's just the...
It still requires you to get there for Rogue's Gallery to hit both big rides.
It's your A-level tickets that are left.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're trying to accomplish with this tiered system and moving things around, but, you know, they are making you decide between...
Well, the tier system allows them to have more available of, or everyone's going to pick Toy Story. And then...
Right, and they're forcing you to use your fast passes on some of the less popular rides. Yeah. I get that, but...
They're trying to spread out the crowd.
Yeah.
Do you know what I think? I was walking in the Magic Kingdom when it hit me what the whole point of this is. The whole point of all of this, it's all crowd control, but even more insidious than that, it's designed to keep you in the parks for a certain amount of time with time to kill so that you're buying things and spending money on food.
Well, yeah.
That's right.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is.
I'm kind of kidding. Seriously, I'm kind of kidding.
Well,
the
longer they keep you there, yeah. Because like even when I was at Disneyland Paris and I ate lunch at Mr. Toad's, and I got a receipt that said, this is good for a free drink after 3:30 p.m. at any of the following restaurants. And it was so they make sure you stay another 2 hours and hopefully shop and whatever and buy something. But they give you little things on your receipt to try to keep you there.
Well, someone said, and I don't remember who it was. I think it was like Jim Hill. It was somebody in the know said that Disney doesn't really make their money off of tickets. They make their money off of merchandise and food. So
you can't tell me they don't make their money off of tickets.
Oh, I think they do. But I think the outlay, I don't know. I just, that's what they said.
Food is a big moneymaker. Food and beverage.
Yeah, food's a huge money maker.
Well, yeah, there's a huge markup on it.
Especially if you're getting your Coke for free, right? I mean, we don't know that, but, you know, that's always, I don't know.
Rumor.
Anyway, I love Disney and I don't mind being a pawn, so keep it up. I love it. I'll keep coming back.
Well, yeah, of course.
So that's my Fast Pass news.
Lauren and I did Teppan Ito. We did it a few months apart, but I have some things to say about Teppan Ito, and so does she.
Okay.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, do tell.
It is awful. It's the worst meal I've ever had on Disney property, hands down.
But where is it? Let everybody know where it's
at. So, Teppan Ito is in Epcot in the Japan Pavilion, and it's on the second floor. And it's interesting. You know, you go up this really interesting staircase. It's very pretty. And then you come in, and there's actually two sides to the restaurant. One side is Tokyo Dining, which looks a little more casual. And the other side is Teppanyaki, which is kind of a hibachi style. It is hibachi style, not kind of. And I think probably, I don't know if Steve edited.
And it's been refurbished not that long ago.
Yes. I don't know if you edited it out, Steve, but
what?
You remember I talked about how I wasn't so sure it was clean, but I went with people who were really nice and I wanted to be accommodating. And so I went ahead and said, okay, I'll go. Actually, I think I invited myself, but I did.
Shocker.
I know. And then five more people invited themselves. So we ended up having a pretty big group, which is nice because the table seats, I think, 10. So, or maybe it's 8. I can't remember.
I think it's
but
10.
Anyway, is it 10? Okay.
Yeah.
So we went ahead and we, it was awful that like the guy comes out and he does like, well, first they have a woman come out and she basically comes out and takes your drink order. And then the chef comes out. I found this a bit sexist. I'm like, why isn't there a male waiter and a female chef? But you know, whatever. I don't, my issues don't need to come into play here. But anyway,
they always do.
I know, right? So
sorry.
So anyway, I don't know. I mean, the food was bland. It was awful. What did you think, Lauren?
My thing with Teppanyaki is I had done it quite a few times and I hadn't done it in a while. So I did it my last trip and I found the food to be extremely bland. And part of me thinks it's the allergies that makes them do that. They don't do the egg in the fried rice.
Oh, right.
You know, it's more like just a brown rice with a little bit of, I guess, what's soy sauce maybe in it. It's very bland.
It had
bland.
A little bit of beef. It was really terrible.
It was very bland. Everything was bland. Nothing was seasoned.
The fried rice, you could put that next to a bowl of rice-a-roni and people would pick rice-a-roni every time, which really isn't saying much. So,
well, no surprise here, but I like rice-a-roni. Don't knock it.
It's the San Francisco treat.
It is.
Yeah. What did you think about, what did you order when you had your, like, did you order the beef, the
I did
shrimp?
Like the chicken and beef combo.
Ah, what'd you think?
It was bland. I mean, it's hard because we have such great hibachi places here and we go to hibachi a lot here. So that's what I'm used to. And it had been a while since I had done Teppan. And I found it to be very, very bland. I just think it's not, the service was great. I thought
the
hibachi
was good.
He did a good job with it. He didn't do the, you know, light the thing on fire. Did your guy do that?
No, we didn't get anything.
I think that's also safety issues.
We got a little tiny volcano. We got a tall volcano that smoked. That was it.
Wow. Yeah, that's what we got. We didn't get the normal, like, you know, how they start the whole thing with the fire and, you know, we didn't get any of that. And I think it's all safety issues. And I think that the way the food is very bland is because they're cooking for a large group right there. And I think that it's all allergy, you know, which is great for the people with allergies, but I think it leaves a lot to be desired for the people who have taste buds.
Yeah, because you would, because you could. That's an experience you can have, like you said, at almost
expensive.
Any restaurant. Yeah, so you can go to your local restaurant and have that experience, and you want it to be better at Disney than.
Yeah,
right. And it used to be. I used to love it at Disney. It used to be really good.
Well, it was $42 after the tip, which I thought was crazy.
Yeah, and that's expensive too.
How bad it was. In any event, yeah, it was so bland. And somebody said, well, you know, on the Mousechat page, somebody said, well, what about the dipping sauces? I used the dipping sauces. I didn't think they were that good. And one thing is I did get I got the shrimp and the steak, and they have this white sauce that you dip the shrimp in. It was the most disgusting thing I have ever eaten. And it was almost like a thin mayonnaise. I was like, what is this? It was terrible. I have no idea. Maybe I'm missing some delicacy or something, but
I am still going to make you go to our hibachi place when you're down here.
I'll go to your hibachi place, but you,
and you're going to like it.
Okay. I might.
You will.
This was awful. Even the noodles couldn't rescue it. You know how sometimes you get noodles and you're like, these are so awesome. They were even bad. So.
Good to know.
And, you know, and I haven't been there, and I'm such a fan of our hibachi place, but it was probably 2 weekends ago that, maybe it was last weekend, that we went to a hibachi place, and it was just not nearly as good. The sauces weren't as good. The rice wasn't as good.
Maybe you weren't, it wasn't as good because Steve wasn't there.
That could be.
The sunshine was not there.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
That's got to be it. But I do love our regular hibachi place. And
I meant that sarcastically, by the way. Anyway, go ahead. You do love
you would
your
never throw a compliment his way.
I know. Probably not. I think you should have Instagrammed your food, by the way.
Hmm. So, yeah, hibachi fan. But now you guys have me kind of turned off to Teppan.
Well, sorry. Unless you want, you know, to meet some ants and stuff, maybe don't.
See, and I think that can happen anywhere. I think you can see that anywhere.
You shouldn't get that at Disney.
No, mm-hmm. But you, I mean, they're going to get in occasionally.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, if you saw a whole parade of them holding a flag, I'd be more concerned.
Well,
that's Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, that was in Magic Kingdom. They were Brazilian ones.
But I think, you know, I think it is bland. And I do think it's because of allergies. I think that's why they do it.
I think that's a really good theory. And I didn't think about that, but it does make a lot of sense.
Well, it's not fair. I mean, why can't you ask, do you have any allergies? No. Fine. Go to the table over here. If you have allergies, we can deal with it
over
here. There
should be a peanut butter and strawberry table.
Well, and peanut oil and everything else. So...
Well, you know how when you go to Five Guys, though, and they have the peanuts inside the restaurant, but then there's always a sign that says, don't take these peanuts out of the restaurant because there's a kid in the neighborhood with allergies. And you're like, there's no neighborhood around here. What are you talking about? Do they have that where you live?
I think that's just your place.
What? I've never seen that.
Kid, and you're not making fun of him.
No, honest to God, all the Five Guys where I live.
So there's like a ban on peanuts in your town?
I guess all I know is that every Five Guys, except the one at the mall where I live, has a sign on the door. And I know we have Carrie listeners and they can vouch for me if they're still listening and not asleep. the signs say there's a child in the neighborhood with peanut allergy. Don't take these out of the restaurant.
Isn't that a little asinine?
That sounds ridiculous. It's like ridiculous. That doesn't even make sense.
I know.
It's either a joke or they're off their rocker.
Because they have these, do they have big barrels of peanuts where you live at the Five Guys?
Yeah.
Okay. So what happens when you walk into a Publix? Like next door? Do they have a sign that says, we can't sell you peanuts? Because there's a kid in the neighborhood?
So how soon before we get boycotted by the moms with kids with peanut allergies group?
No.
I'm thinking 3 days.
I think that's the thing that we're kind of saying here. I think it's ridiculous for a restaurant to say you can't take peanuts out of the restaurant because there's a child with allergies somewhere in the neighborhood. Take peanuts from the restaurant to your car?
I know. I don't understand that either, but it's the same sign at every restaurant in my town.
That's weird.
It is weird. I live in a weird town.
That doesn't make any sense.
So...
Hopefully you need to leave that place.
And don't fly on an airline anywhere. Weeks.
Do what?
I guess they can't travel on an airline anywhere either.
Well, then you have to make the plane peanut free.
That's, wow. And it's really tough when you've got someone with allergies, but.
Yes. We're sympathetic to that. We get a lot of, you know, requests. We get a lot of questions about people with allergies. We try to be, you know, we are sympathetic. But the peanut thing at Five Guys is weird. I think Steve just
I think
cut
they
this
just
out.
Don't want you to take the peanuts because people are taking their peanuts home and they're like
feeding their
out.
Elephants.
I think it's just a sign to say stop taking our peanuts.
Stop taking our peanuts.
I think it's not as clear as it seems, Chris. I don't think there's a kid in the neighborhood that they're trying to protect.
I really need to take a picture of that sign.
You do.
Which means I have to go back to Five Guys before I leave here. So,
really weird.
Well, Kevin won't have a problem with that.
I know. That's where he wanted to go for Father's Day. Are you kidding? So,
Steve won't be here for Father's Day.
Oh, that's right.
Working. Yeah.
Working?
At Disney World.
That's what he's calling it these days. No, but yeah. I really don't admire Steve or envy Steve for having to do
this. I think that was a Freudian slip.
I don't admire Steve at all. No, I don't envy him for having to do this.
I do.
Sitting out there for...
Oh my God, I so envy him. I would totally be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't get to play. He gets to sit by the car all day, 9 hours
he's
a day.
He's going to go play.
But at some point, he's going to escape and go play.
No, no, I don't think so.
Steve will leave the car. And even so, he's got like...
I would create a dummy that looked just like me.
See, I thought you were going somewhere
and have like a recording. Hi, how are you? This is the family truckster.
Don't make him feel more guilty than he already does.
And then I would be like off riding the mine train somewhere.
Don't make him feel more guilty than he already does about leaving his poor children on Father's Day.
Yeah.
Just to go to Disney World, which is, as we know, not fun.
Well, and he actually invited Amber and said, you know, this would be a great little chance for us to do the daddy-daughter bonding thing. I'm like, oh, that is so cool. And then I'm like, wait a minute, cool. We're puppy sitting. And Amber's the one puppy sitting. So no, we are babysitting a
I would let her go. I would let her go because, you know what, in 2 years, she's not going to really want to go anywhere with her dad. And she's certainly not going to want to share a room with him. That's my theory on that.
Nah. They're like peanut butter and jelly.
You say that now, but I tell you, my 11-year-old, there are moments when I'm like, wow, who is this person?
Yeah, they change.
They really do.
Sad.
So get your time in now.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, then he said, I said, what about Brooke? Why don't you bring Brooke? And then, because she doesn't have to watch the puppy. But then I thought about it, and he's literally going to be out with the car for 12 hours a day. Sure. I said, that's not fair. And he said, well, we'll leave and we'll go to the park. I said, well, that kind of defeats your whole purpose in going to the car show now, doesn't it? So he's just going to leave the car there and not talk to anyone and engage
anyone.
Telling
you, Steve, the answer is the recording.
It could be.
The answer is just to take
get like a cardboard cutout of you and put a recording behind it, and you can totally go ride the mine train.
And well, I have to be there at 5:30 in the morning.
That's okay. Kids are portable.
To drive the car.
I just think honestly, and I think this is not going up on the air. I would do it because it's something she'll always remember. When she's sitting in her room writing, "Dear Diary, I hate my dad so much." And then she'll be like, oh, but there was that one time we had a father-daughter trip.
Yeah, but they're going to sit by the car. I think if they want to have a father-daughter trip, they can do it any weekend they want. It doesn't have to be the weekend that he has to sit with the car.
Well, that's true.
It's none of my business.
That's right.
You know me. I'm like all, like... You know, I cannot help but give my opinion.
You know what? Chris, yes. You could take Amber down. She'll go with you.
Amber's awesome.
You guys can just share shoes.
I know. I'm waiting for her to grow a half more size, and I think she'll be good to go.
I just bought her some shoes, and I think they were 8s.
Get out. No way.
Way.
Okay, so just real quick, just to remind everybody, we are doing the Mouse Chat Disney Fan Meetup. The dates are going to be October 17th and 18th. And nope, I'm lying. 18th and 19th. Sorry.
Now somebody's going to be all confused. It's all going to be your fault.
Well, no, I was reading off the site and we have on their week of October 17th. So it threw me. But it's Saturday and Sunday. It starts the 18th of October. We're doing a breakfast and a ride. And we're doing a scavenger hunt. And we're going to eat around the world with Mouse Chat on Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you head over to mousechat.net, and you can read all the details on it. But come join us. It's going to be fun.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I would like to thank pixievacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. I would also like to let you know, if you've got comments or questions for us, please send them to us at comments@mousechat.net. If you like our shows, you can download those at iTunes and also at mousechat.net. Thank you for listening, and please join us again next time on Mouse Chat.